Hello, you're listening to Truth News. It's the 21st of February 2010. I'm doing a special show today because I have an interview lined up with Richard Gage, founding member of AE911truth.org. Richard was in Australia last year for our Hard Evidence Conference, and he has been tirelessly promoting the cause of 9/11 truth and the architects and engineers who have determined, based on their expert knowledge, that the buildings in the World Trade Center complex 1, 2 and 7 were probably demolished, and are demanding a new investigation from US Congress. The organization AE911 Truth has now exceeded 1,000 members, that's registered architects and engineers, and Richard is now engaged in a series of interviews to basically ramp up the awareness, and it's a very exacting task that he has before him, to continually try to bring to light the information that is continually being suppressed in the mainstream and by government. So stand by for a really important interview coming up momentarily. Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome back to Truth News Radio Australia, Richard Gage, AIA. Richard Gage, San Francisco Bay Area architect and member of the American Institute of Architects, also the founding member of AE911truth.org, a practicing architect for over 20 years, who's worked on most types of building construction, including numerous fireproof and steel-framed buildings. Most recently, he worked on the construction documents for a $400 million mixed-use urban project with 1.2 million square feet of retail parking structure and 320,000 square feet of mid-rise office space. Well, AE911truth.org, as of today, as of the 21st of February 2010, has 1,044 members. And Richard, you have just completed and successfully engineered a press conference which spanned three continents, six countries, 38 cities, and 48 locations. So I think if the Nobel Peace Prize were not so tainted, I'd say you're certainly up for a nomination there, Richard. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Hayward. I'll... That's a lot to accept, but you're very welcome, and it's awesome to be here with you today.
Yeah, look, Richard, you were here just a few months ago, back in November, and we had that great conference here in Sydney, and we had quite a lot of breakthroughs in the media. We had an amazing interview with the son of the architect of the Opera House here in Sydney. We had quite a few appearances. You appeared in the radio here, and then of course in New Zealand you had some really excellent feedback and success with the actual mainstream media there, and now you've cracked the 1,000 barrier, and you've done this incredible set of interviews. So basically I'll just hand it over to you to give us a sense of where we're at. You know, I mean, it's just a incredible transformation point in history, I think, as we try to bring this to the public knowledge.
Yes, indeed. And the press conference yesterday was quite extraordinary for us at AE911 Truth, because as you mentioned, with 1,000 architects and engineers demanding a new investigation, an unimpeachable, truly independent investigation with subpoena power to get at the truth of what happened to all three of these skyscrapers on 9/11, it's It's extraordinary. We can now be used by the media as a source of credibility to provide cover for them in presenting the story, which is great. And we can also be used as a tool by the members of the 9/11 Truth Movement across the country and around the world as credibility. It's very exciting milestone to have reached, and we know that there were some mainstream media signed on to the webinar yesterday. As we were giving the presentation, we spent probably an hour highlighting all of the evidence for the explosive controlled demolition of all three World Trade Center high-rises, and this was done rapid fire in a way that can be even more, if you will, entertaining in a way, more attention grabbing to those who will be able to use this DVD from this press conference with perhaps greater effect. Because on it, we have also included sharp statements by Dr. David Ray Griffin, who was there with us, Dr. Stephen Jones, nuclear physicist, who gave a startling portrayal of his investigations into the nanothermite findings in all the World Trade Center dust, this explosive material that should not be in the World Trade Center dust. And also Eric Lawyer was there from Firefighters for 9/11 Truth. And he was just incredible. His talk was inspiring. And basically what we've done now is taken an additional step outside of our comfort zone at AE 9/11 Truth, where before we were really just talking about and presenting the evidence. Now we're calling for and yesterday we came out swinging. We're calling upon Eric Holder, Attorney General of the United States,
okay,
to impanel a federal grand jury investigation of NIST, National Institute for Standards and Technology, who gave us the whole series of lies and unscientific and fraudulent reports that we've gotten about how these buildings came down. So we want an investigation of Shyam Sunder, lead investigator at NIST, and his co-project leader, John Gross. So we'll see how this develops, and we're looking to raise funds for to find the appropriate legal means and channels and get this investigation done of NIST as well as of the three buildings.
Of course, because we have evidence that NIST really didn't do their job very professionally, and we have statements from John Gross that he was completely unaware that there was molten steel in the rubble, which would seem to really refute basic common sense, considering there was so much evidence of that molten steel. And I think, would you agree that one statement that I think was recorded on YouTube but just an amateur video of John Gross saying that he was completely unaware of molten steel, certainly needs to be examined.
Well, he went beyond that. He claimed that there's no evidence of it, no eyewitnesses, nobody's produced it. So, of course, the video you're referring to shows him saying that in turn with all of the evidence, the eyewitnesses, and the production of it. So he's clearly lying, and that's what his report does throughout all of it. And we highlighted all of these fabrications and lies of NIST, denying the evidence and including, you know, only half of the evidence in the aftermath of these three high-rises and the computer model, which supposedly explains how they came down, which bears no resemblance to the photos or the videos of how they came down. We can go into detail in that if you'd like.
Indeed. Well, you know, what's interesting here is, I mean, you're working within one area of expertise, which is your engineering and architectural knowledge, but we have so many different people working. We've got Stephen Jones and the scientific research team looking at the actual evidence from the dust. We're coming at this from a number of different angles, and we're just trying to I guess, reach the point where it is acknowledged that there must be a new investigation? Because obviously, everything you've been able to do and everything that that all of the people who are in the 9/11 truth movement have been able to do is limited by the fact that you can't get full access even to all of the evidence that already exists.
Oh, right. It's so secretive. We have FOIA requests, for instance, for what should be public information. The computer input data for their models so that we can, you know, determine what is in this black box out of which comes seemingly an explanation of how these buildings came down. For instance, Building 7 comes down in just 6.5 seconds at free fall acceleration, straight down smoothly, symmetrically. This is the third high-rise to collapse into its own footprint. Well, the third high-rise to collapse at almost free fall acceleration that day. And yet, hardly anybody knows about this. Architects, engineers, they don't know about it. It wasn't hit by an airplane. And so their explanation of this building shows it crumpling, beginning to tip over, and they can't even get their computer models to mimic the way that the building came down, according to the video evidence that we do have. So we want an investigation that we want. We put in Freedom of Information Act requests to get this data back so that we can prove that they fabricated. They show 400 structural steel connections failing per second, for instance, in the computer models. We know that because we know how many there are at these connections. So fire can't do this. Fire would have to remove 24 core columns, at least, within a tenth of a second of each other in order to bring Building 7 straight down into its own footprint. And even then, it's very, very, very difficult to do. This is a very professional job. And we're hoping for whistleblowers to come forth, of course, from among the perpetrators. Haven't seen any yet, though.
Indeed. Do you think, Richard, that the trial, the forthcoming trial, which is to be held in New York, that if it does go ahead as a public trial, may be a trigger for some new information to come out?
Yeah, I sure hope so. The Khalid Sheikh Mohammed trial. We know this, that if those attorneys get wind, and they have, people have sent them the evidence, our DVD and so forth, that these were controlled demolitions, then it'll really shake up that trial. Of course, as well as hundreds and perhaps thousands of other trials related to 9/11, because this changes everything. It'll shake up the two wars that we have going on in Iraq and Afghanistan as well, and maybe even restore our civil rights that have been lost here in the U.S. through recent legislation such as the Patriot Act and the Military Commissions Act. Everything changes when the American people and the people around the world and the people of Australia find out that they were lied to, and not only lied to originally, but that the truth, the evidence, was covered up actively by our respective governments, our respective media. There will be major, major shakeup when the people become aware of these. And it's a grassroots movement. That's how people are becoming aware. We've not seen leaks in the mainstream media of any of this evidence, or much of it at all. And so we have to have every citizen of the U.S. and Australia and other countries actively taking the information that is available, for instance, on our website, ae911truth.org. The DVD's there that highlights all of this evidence. We have to send this link to every architect, every engineer that you know, and everyone else that you can find, so people can begin to wake up and take back our respective governments.
Yeah, look, that's so important. And, you know, to our listeners out there, I'd just like to really emphasize that the continued effort on this grassroots level is going to be essential for this to happen. a lot of people, and many people that I've spoken to over the years, have the attitude that they're aware that there's questions about 9/11. They think it might have been an inside job, but they continually wipe it from their mind. And then you get this cynical attitude coming in. I really, you know, one of the reasons why we do this show is to try and change the mindset so that we don't fall into this cynical pattern of just saying, oh, that's the way the world is. It happened years ago. You know, think about something else. Because that attitude itself is what facilitates this type of crime. And I think, I mean, you're an example of what one person can do. And we need more because we still haven't got over the threshold. The average person in the street is still completely swayed in their worldview by what they get from their government and the you know, very, very sort of superficial coverage in the mainstream media of these events. And they think that that what you're talking about is a wacky conspiracy theory, and that's as far as they go. They don't go any further down the path of actually looking at the information. So we have to turn this around. Look, I think that the fact that this trial is now becoming a trigger for information to come out, I think is also leading to moves to actually have it moved into a military trial. Is that correct, Richard? Because if it goes to be a military trial, the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed trial in New York, then of course it will be a closed trial again and the information can't come out. There's an interview which I just came to me from Mani Badillo from the New York We Are Change on Russia Today, which we'll play actually at the end of this. And he's basically saying that there is pressure from within the government and Bloomberg to basically move this out of the public domain.
I heard that. And I don't know what the results of that will be, but we certainly want this information much more public because every time they do something public, they slip. And more valuable information and truth gets out. This is starting. This happens with every one of these little false flag operations and the big ones too. So I'm with you on that one.
Excellent. And look, I'm just going to take a really short break here, and we'll be right back in a moment. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception, and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. Hi, you're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, and today I'm interviewing Richard Gage, AIA, founding member of a911truth.org, seeking a new investigation of the collapses of three high-rise buildings in New York City on September 11, 2001. A long time ago now, and with each year that passes, the need for justice just becomes more poignant. Richard, we have, I mean, we have wars that are still ongoing as a result of these criminal acts, which were never properly investigated. We have atrocities being committed, still really in the name of that event. We have predator drone attacks are taking place practically on a daily basis in Pakistan and Afghanistan. We have a military-industrial complex with which Australia, the Australian government, is very much participating in this and has been from the beginning, to not so much with a huge amount of manpower and military effort, but our token involvement as a so-called democracy is actually very important. And that's one of the reasons why I think that Australia's involvement in these wars and Australia's position on what actually happened on 9/11 and Australia's failure to basically seek justice for its own citizens who were killed on that day is just a huge indictment against our entire leadership. I mean, it's really quite heartbreaking to have to face up to this. And I guess you've been through a lot of pain over this too, Richard. But I mean, we have to basically look at the failure of our entire culture of our government.
Well, citizens have given up their involvement in government. It's a very different society today than it was over 100 years ago. People used to be quite involved in town hall meetings, for instance, where local issues and international issues were discussed and then elevated up through channels. I think they've made it so complicated and cynical on purpose, so that people would not want to be involved in running their government. And there's levels of secrecy that are extraordinary that people don't can't find out what's really going on. And the media, of course, is spinning the truth and turning it into something that's more palatable, and to make people kind of go back to sleep and keep spending. So these are real problems in a society that was quite well foretold by George Orwell, the author of 1984. We're getting closer and closer, unfortunately, to that kind of a society, and it appears that, you know, we're being well engineered.
Yeah, but we have the internet, and we have the amazing websites like your website, and we're trying to do things here in Australia, and we have people around the world. For example, WikiLeaks, an organization which was set up to allow information to come out that had been suppressed. I just was researching that recently, and I'm sort of waiting one day for hopefully something to appear in WikiLeaks that will really be explosive evidence in relation to 9/11. There was actually some information that came out through that site of the 9/11 pager and text messages. I heard that that there was some information in that that was suggestive, or certainly corroborates claims that bombs were going off. But we're still kind of waiting for a major whistleblower to come forward. Would you agree that would be like a really major step forward if we could get that?
Well, if it wasn't some kind of a setup,
indeed,
by those who perpetrated 9/11, that's been done many times before. Whistleblowers from the Kennedy assassination issue were planted. So all of us are very suspicious of such something like that happening.
Yes.
But yes, we do need and want and are looking for a genuine whistleblower. So if anybody knows anybody, have them send them through the proper channels. Now, we don't have any proper channels. That's one reason they may not have come forward.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do with a whistleblower. I certainly am not in any kind of a position to provide safety for one. So what we need is information that's verifiable and that we can get out quickly to everybody.
Indeed. Actually, Richard, there's one question I wanted to put to you, which came up actually on our website recently in our forum. There was some information posted about a demolition technique. Now, this is being used by the debunkers of the controlled demolition theory. And it's a demolition technique which was started in France called verrinage. And it apparently it demolishes buildings without explosives. Have you come across this at all?
Yeah, I've heard about it. I think they do, as I recall, they do have some pre-explosives to weaken the building, and then they, I think they pull it over.
Right.
With cables. I may be wrong. I just heard about it. I haven't, read the details. But I don't know how that can possibly be used by those who are the so-called debunkers to refute the overwhelming evidence for explosive-controlled demolition at the three World Trade Center high-rises, because, I mean, it is incredible the amount of debris that's hurled outward all around these buildings symmetrically, the Twin Towers. 90,000 tons of concrete is completely pulverized with explosives. It's the only way you can do that. Not only the concrete, but the metal decking they're in, the trusses that are supporting them, the 6,000 floor panels, in other words, 4 and 12-inch thick concrete. It's 98% of it is completely gone and spread in a very fine powder throughout lower Manhattan. We have 100 first responders that hear sounds of flashes, and they see flashes of light, sounds of explosions and flashes of light. And we only knew about these guys in 2005 because the New York Court State of Appeals forced the city to turn this information over to the New York Times, who was suing them for it. So these levels of secrecy are just in some cases being exposed by legal action. So there's still somewhat of a justice system, fortunately, here in the U.S.
And the really incredible thing about the World Trade Center 1 and 2, when you look at those photos of what was left, the destruction went right into the ground. I mean, it's virtually a crater there. So the massive box columns at the lower part of the building, which were designed to keep the entire building, to hold it up, were all destroyed right down into the ground. And I mean, that is just mind-boggling to contemplate how that happened. And of course, in the lower levels of the actual World Trade Center basement levels, I mean, there was virtually nothing recovered, was there? I mean, there was no, and you'd think that would have been protected because basically the building fell all around it. It should have remained intact, and yet the entire basement levels were totally destroyed. Is that correct? I mean, it was basically just rubble and molten steel right down into the ground.
Well, we have 110 floors in each of these skyscrapers, and they were each an acre in size. So we're missing 220 acres of floors that we should have seen in the pile of each of these towers, a stack of 110 floors, but we don't see 50 of them in the photos or videos of the aftermath. We don't see 10 of them. We don't even see one of them stacked up there. 98% of this material was blown outside the footprint of each of these buildings. This has nothing to do with a gravitational collapse at all. In fact, 9-ton perimeter wall units were ejected at 60 miles an hour, instant speed, out of the sides of the Twin Towers and landing 600 feet away. This is like more like a volcanic explosion than anything else. In fact, it had these incredibly thick, gaseous, hot clouds of suspended fine elements of this concrete in it, unfolding in itself like in volcanoes. They call it pyroclastic clouds. I mean, it is an extraordinarily explosive event.
Yes, anyone who's watched the videos and looked at photos can see these cauliflower-shaped clouds spreading really, really fast. Is there any evidence for what the temperature was in those initial clouds? Because basically it has been claimed that they were like a pyroclastic flow. If they were a pyroclastic flow, they would have been extremely hot. Is there evidence for the fact that those cauliflower clouds that spread out really, really quickly?
I heard the earlier part. So let me answer. There's evidence throughout all of the dust throughout lower Manhattan, billions and billions of extremely small spheres of previously molten iron. So what we know, and the USGS knows, and other firms and international teams of scientists who have analyzed this dust know that those temperatures exceeded 3,000 degrees because that's where you get molten iron. And where else do you get molten iron? You get it from it's the byproduct of an aluminothermic event like thermite going off. And there's evidence in these spheres of thermite, lots of manganese, aluminum. And so it's not melted steel. Something else is introduced into this mix, and thermite is the only answer for it. So thermite produces molten iron at 4,000 to 5,000 degrees, So this explains those cloud formations.
Indeed, so that they must have been very hot, those clouds, if they were basically causing molten steel droplets to solidify into perfect spheres. I mean, that is, there's your evidence right there, I guess.
Oh yeah, under explosive conditions, the byproduct of thermite would produce, it would be dispersed like in a spray bottle. And
yes.
Then, of course, it does get spread out and cool and fall with all of the dust. But also what's in that dust is, and we talked about at the press conference yesterday, Dr. Jones did, is the finding of small chips, which are very curious, a millimeter long, and they're red on one side, and the red side is composed of extremely small particles of nanothermite, the components of nanothermite, a thousand times smaller than a human hair, these aluminum particles, and these the iron oxide particles are perfectly uniform, and they're mixed in the perfect proportion to make up thermite, one quarter to three quarters aluminum to iron oxide. So this can't just happen randomly by steel falling and mixing somehow with the aluminum in the building. This is made in the most sophisticated Defense Department contracting laboratories. So we know that this can't have been only a job performed by Al-Qaeda.
Indeed, indeed. Richard, I know you're very busy, so we're probably going to wind it up shortly. Just want to let you know that we had our Sydney press conference on Friday, and we videoed that. So we'll be putting that onto our YouTube channel, and you're welcome to share that.
Forward to hearing.
Yeah.
Seeing it. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. We had barrister here, Bray Antcliffe, who has been just tirelessly speaking out on behalf of the 9/11 Truth Movement, writing letters to all the leading politicians going back 4 or 5 years now. He's just relentless, and he read the statement. And we had Dr. David Leifer, architect and senior lecturer from University of Sydney, speak, and
great.
John Bursell here in Sydney. So it was a great little event.
Oh yeah, sorry, I've met all three of these fine gentlemen when I was in Australia, and I can't tell you what an incredible team of people you have working on behalf of 9/11 Truth in Australia. I am so proud and honored to be associated with all of you. It was incredible.
Yeah, I really felt it was a great moment when we did that conference, and it gave us such a sense that we're actually doing something, and we want to maintain that. Of course, it tends to go quiet again since then. You know, basically we had a little bit of attention in the media, complete silence again now. So we just have to keep working on it here, which we will.
Yeah, we can't stop. We are. It's a slow crawl forward, and it goes in leaps and spurts, and then it might even be some backwards movement in terms of numbers of people that are active. But across the globe, the momentum in general and on average is just like it's a race between the turtle and the hare.
Yeah.
And we're the turtle. And the turtle is big and unstoppable, and we're going to win. And I think 2010 is the breakout year. I really do. I think with 1,000 architects and engineers fueling the movement, we've got incredible potential.
So true. That's on that note, I guess we'll conclude for today. Thank you so much, Richard.
You are so welcome here.
Yeah.
I'm grateful to be on, and thank you.
I look forward to catching up with you again next time we have an opportunity.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Great. Have a great day. Cheers.
Okay, you too.
Thanks. Well, that was Richard Gage, AIA, AE911truth.org, and a man who is on a mission to change the world. Now, in the remainder of the show today, I'm going to bring you some clips. I want to play a clip that was recorded just a couple of days ago in which Russia Today interviews Manny Badillo in regard to the upcoming 9/11 trial. And then we're going to play you the audio from the press conference that we held in Sydney on Friday. So stand by, and we're going to take a short break for some music, and then we'll be back with those clips.
When all around you there are lies, just to get you spies, just to get you to buy so they can get you. There are cameras in the sky, lasers in our living rooms. There are wolves watching wearing she's costumes. It's enough to make you go crazy. Oh, it's enough to make you mad. It's enough to make you go crazy. Oh, yeah. And I'm amazed I haven't yet. Isn't it a shame the way we cheat each other, treat each other, beat each other? Is true. They will lock you up in prison, but they won't call it slavery. There are stolen children raised and trained in armies. It's enough to make you go crazy. Whoa. It's enough to make you mad. It's enough to make you go crazy.
Sick of the propaganda, when you're over the disinformation, when you can't stand the deception, when the deceit gets too much, when the spin becomes transparent, you know where to turn. You turn on truthnews.com.au with your hosts, Harold Fenton and Joshua Jackson.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to bring you now a clip that was recorded on Russia Today of Manny Badillo, one of the most important representatives of victims' family members in New York, pressing for a new investigation. And he was interviewed by Dina Gozovsky on Russia Today a couple of days ago. So we'll just roll that, and after that we'll be bringing you the recorded clip of the press conference that was held in Sydney on Friday, the 19th of February of our press conference for 9/11 Truth.
Well, it looks like some government officials now want the 9/11 trials to take place at a military tribunal instead of a civilian courtroom. But how do the people who lost a loved one that day feel about that possibility? Manny Badillo is one of those people. He joins me live from our new studio. Hi there, Manny. So we've been talking a lot about this back and forth with this trial. It seems like the military tribunal option is actually becoming the more realistic one, even though Vice President Joe Biden has said that it's the less preferable way to go. Your uncle was tragically killed in the 9/11 attacks. You have such a personal connection with all of this. What is your reaction?
Well, my reaction is very simple. The trials need to be held. They need to be held here. They need to be held in a civilian court where the evidence can come out. Evidence that's still being collected. Over 1,800 body parts have been found just in the last 2 years alone. The fact is, we need to have this trial to show the world the evidence that the United States has collected and has refused to give to the family members, the survivors, the first responders, those most intimately connected with the crime, with this unsolved crime, this mass murder, which begs for a new investigation. We need to have a trial in order to get the evidence out in the public forum through a court of law so people can come to their own conclusions about the weight of that evidence and the weight of the charges against these five accused.
What kind of evidence are you talking about here, and what do you think the U.S. government may be trying to hide?
Well, when only 30% of questions posed by the family members were ever answered in the original 9/11 commission, when you have the majority of the commissioners saying that, you know, there needs to be more given to us for the people of the world and especially the family members to understand what happened to their loved ones. We're talking evidence that is being suppressed. We're talking, how about the scientific forensic evidence, the evidence that Niels Harrit and Stephen Jones and Kevin Ryan found, the highly engineered military-grade explosives that were found in the debris and the dust of the World Trade Center. How about that evidence that just might be within the lungs of the sick and dying by the tens of thousands first responders who are dying of ailments that we don't really even know about, but that the U.S. government is withholding much-needed financial aid for to get them back to health? We have to find out what happened, and now is the time to do it. We need this trial here in New York.
You know, Manny, people still talk a lot about security concerns, that having this trial in New York City would actually pose a threat to that. And we have been hearing sort of different facts when it comes to this from Vice President Joe Biden and some police commissioners in New York City. They seem to have a different take on how this would affect New York security. What do you think? Is this going to pose some kind of threat?
This is going to pose no threat at all. Essentially, what we find is this controversy that has been started by the U.S. government, peddled through the controlled corporate media here in the U.S., really is no conspiracy at all, controversy at all. We need to find the answers. That is completely nonpartisan. There should be no controversy whatsoever. What I feel is that this is just another divide and conquer tactic to split the masses up into one side against the other. Ultimately, all of us need to find out what happened on that day. The evidence stands right now where there is a lot of questions concerning government complicity in the events of 9/11. Let's get that evidence out there for us to find out what really happened.
You know, interestingly enough, Vice President Joe Biden actually kind of accused Mayor Bloomberg of inflating the security cost. What do you think really happened here?
It's just political show. It's just there's more than enough money to cover this trial. The fact is there's a false left-right paradigm. You want to get Republicans all riled up, Democrats riled up. It's unfortunate. Family members, survivors, first responders are being used again. We're divided. We need to know the answers. We've never been given them properly. We need a fact driven, a comprehensive investigation. A trial is going to allow for us to get the evidence out. 80,000 New Yorkers last year signed a petition alone to vote on that fact-driven comprehensive investigation. Let this trial stand in civilian court. Let us find out the information. Let's find out what happened to my uncle Thomas Joseph Scroy, 3,000 other innocents during the unsolved crime of 9/11.
So you're saying politics still at play here, even with such a sensitive issue. Manny Badillo, live there for us in our New York City studios. I do want to thank you for your thoughts.
Okay, that was Manny Badillo there. Pretty important developments, I think. Hopefully that the trial will go ahead as a public trial, because that will provide an avenue for new evidence and even for the existing evidence to reach a much larger number of people. Okay, stand by, and we'll bring you now the recording from Friday's press conference outside St. Mary's Cathedral in Sydney.
Okay, everybody, welcome today. We're celebrating 1,000 plus architects and engineers questioning the events of 9/11, in specific what they believe the demolition of World Trade Center 1, 2 and 7, Building 7, a 47-story skyscraper 100 metres from the Twin Towers, that collapsed in a pure freefall for the first 100 feet of its collapse. Today we're going to read a prepared press release from the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth Group. That's www.ae911truth.org. Please go there and review the evidence. We have a few eminent people here today to help with questions from the press. We do have a few members of the press here with us now. Not as many as we should have for such a dire event as 9/11, if its whole explanation is in question. We have with us today Bray Antcliffe, a barrister, who will be reading the press statement, who is a personal friend of Richard Gage, the founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and has been reviewing the evidence now for many years. We also have with us Dr. David Leifer from Sydney University. David Leifer is an architect and lectures in architecture. He also is an incorporated engineer. He's given two lectures on the events of 9/11, in particular World Trade Center 1's collapse. Next to Dr. David Leifer, we have David Andreessen. David Andreessen is a civil engineer and is also very interested in the pursuit of truth to do with 9/11. These people are here to answer the questions of the press, and I'm also here as a licensed aircraft engineer and researcher of 9/11 to answer any questions about the 9/11 truth movement. Firstly, I'd like to welcome Bray Antcliffe to read the prepared press statement.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Richard Gage has found, or did find, AE 9/11 Truth. He's been a powerhouse in finding truth and organising people for the determine the science in regard to 9/11. All over the world in various places, and I'll mention those in a moment, this press release is going to be read. I've adapted it slightly because it is an American press release, and there are just a minor changes that won't be noticeable, but the substance is exactly as Richard Gage requires. So it gives me great pleasure to present this release. Today, the non-profit organisation Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth announces that they now have over 1,000 engineers signed on to the petition demanding a new investigation into the destruction of the three World Trade Center skyscrapers on September the 11th, 2001 in New York. That includes not only the Twin Towers but also building number 7, the third high rise to be destroyed that day. You may record, went down about 5:20 in the afternoon. The American Institute of Architects and Engineers, via Richard Gage, have announced this decisive milestone today. At the primary organisation press conference in San Francisco, they will be making this announcement. We, of course, are ahead in time in regard to that. The press conference is also being held in numerous cities throughout the world, including the following: San Francisco, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Seattle, Portland, Chicago, Austin, Dallas, Madison, Dover, Tulsa, Tucson, Boston, Alexandria, Tampa, Temple, Terrace, that's in Florida, Denver, New York, Newark, and internationally in Ontario, Vancouver, Brussels, Denmark, Wellington, New Zealand, and here in Sydney. After careful examination of the official explanation of the destruction of these three buildings, along with the eyewitness testimony and forensic data that was omitted from the official reports, these professionals have concluded that a new independent investigation into these catastrophic events is both necessary and essential for the preservation of our democracies. Mr. Gage is delivering a more detailed news conference about this major development and is accompanied by signers of the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth at a San Francisco press conference. We will be held today. A brief outline today of the explosive evidence compiled will be followed by the opportunity to ask questions. And you can ask questions of the experts to my right, both Davids. Detailed information may be found in the DVD that the Architects and Engineers have prepared. It's titled 9/11 Blueprint for Truth, the Architects of Destruction. And John is holding up copies, and they are free.
Copies for anyone that wants one.
It is also available on the website ae911truth.org. That video analyzes the scientific forensic evidence, concluding that the three World Trade Center skyscrapers in New York were demolished with explosives in a controlled demolition. Their conclusion is based solely on forensic evidence. Mr. Gage notes the official FEMA, that's F-E-M-A, and NIST, N-I-S-T, reports provided insufficient, contradictory, and fraudulent accounts of the tower's destruction. That's in regard to each of them. Therefore, in addition to the new investigation, they in the US are also calling for a grand jury investigation of the individuals responsible at NIST, which is generally referred to as the National Institute for Standards and Technology. And Mr. Gage refers to some particular members of that organisation. I will not mention them here, but they are in the official press release.
Which I have here. Anyone watch one?
The destruction of the third high-rise on 9/11 World Trade Center number 7, and that was a 47-story building which was not hit by an aircraft, came down in pure free-fall acceleration for more than 100 feet. I have a question on that, you'll be able to ask David as to what that means. That is a significant fact that NIST has been forced to admit due to research conducted by AE 9/11 Truth petition signers. Yet NIST fails to review or acknowledge the obvious implications. That is, that the columns must have been explosively severed within fractions of a second of each other. We encourage you to review the startling collapse on their website at ae911truth.org. There are other disturbing facts that are related to the forensic evidence that is available to all. And it's available to the press if they bothered to look. And I'll number them. And this is not all of them, just a sample. One, the complete destruction and dismemberment of building number 7 collapsing in just 6.5 seconds through the path of what was greatest resistance, vertically and symmetrically, including 2.5 seconds of pure fall, that is with zero resistance, was an occurrence only possible with expertly placed explosives, that is, removing what was underneath. Two, the complete destruction and dismemberment of both twin towers in just 10 to 14 seconds, which is near free fall acceleration, again required all 47 massive core columns in the towers to be severed. Three, over 100 first responders reported sounds of explosions and flashes of light on the onset of the destruction. First responders, of course, are those people who went to rescue those who were murdered. Four multi-ton steel perimeter wall sections were ejected laterally at 60 miles per hour to a distance of 600 feet. And coming out at 60 miles per hour at a standing start is something rather significant. And David will explain that to you in a little bit more detail. Five, there was mid-air pulverization of 90,000 tons of concrete and metal decking. Pulverization basically refers to it turning to dust. Drop some concrete and see if it turns to dust. Six, a 1,200-foot diameter debris field. Now, there should have been 110 floors stacked up at the bottom if there was a gravitational collapse. As stated in the official explanation, well, that was what is in the official explanation, that many tons. Yet there are no floors seen in the photos, just a two-story pile of pulverized building materials. Seven, in videos of the destruction, you can easily see isolated explosive ejections of pulverized building matter 20 to 40 stories below the collapsing portion. They're generally referred to as squibs, S-Q-U-I-B-S. Eight, firefighters and engineers found several tons of molten metal in the debris under each of the three buildings. Yet fires and jet fuel cannot possibly be responsible for these temperatures. FEMA documents in their May 202 report at Appendix C refer to the melting of steel beams, saying they were like Swiss cheese. Nine, evidence of thermite incendiaries has been found by the scientists in the previously molten iron steel samples of the dust that blanked Manhattan. 10. Evidence of advanced explosive nanothermitic composite material was found in the dust samples. And that was found by an international team of nine scientists. Well, confirmed, I should say. It was found previously, but not properly reported on and analysed. That substance, nanothermite, is manufactured only in the most sophisticated defence contracting laboratories. If the official conspiracy theory were true, nanothermite should not be found in the World Trade Center dust. 11. There is no precedent for steel-framed high-rise buildings to collapse solely due to fire. AE 911's truth conclusions are shared by thousands of scientists, a couple with me, senior-level military intelligence and government officials, pilots and aviation professionals, firefighters, scholars, university professors, 9/11 survivors and their family members, and other professionals around the world. Examples of those can be found at patriotsquestion911.com, firefightersfor911truth.org, journalof911studies.com, and of course, I've got one here, seeing that we have the venue here, I'll add this, religious leaders for 9/11 truth. Look that up and see what type of person you're talking about there who doesn't want to be suckered by the official story. The implications are enormous, and they have the potential for a profound impact on the forthcoming Khalid Sheikh Mohammed trial, generally referred to as KSM in short. Today, every member of Congress will be receiving the AE 9/11 truth petition. That, of course, is the US Congress. It's a pity our lot are not getting it either as well. And that petition will have every one of the 1,000 architects and engineers of the 9/11 truth named on it. The implications of controlled demolition of the World Trade Center point towards treason in the United States. the US reminds their citizens of the following. Misprision of treason is a federal offence committed where someone who has knowledge of the commission of any treason against the United States does not inform the president, a federal judge or state governor, or state judge. It is punishable by fine and up to 7 years in a US federal prison. In New South Wales, there is a similar provision in the New South Wales Crimes Act. If you're aware of a major crime, you have a duty to report it. The 9/11 Truth Movement, which Time magazine in 2006 called a mainstream political reality, that continues to gain momentum. As AE 9/11 Truth's own influence grows, Richard Gage has embarked on well over 130 speaking events covering 20 states and 13 countries, including Australia, New Zealand and Japan at the end of last year. And I was honoured to have Richard stay with me for about a week, during which we had many interesting discussions. The architects and engineers, 9/11 Truth members, regularly attend architectural conventions, most recently in San Francisco, Washington, Richmond. They are educating hundreds of architects and engineers and sharing the research systematically that has resulted in new signatories to the petition and additional support for a new independent investigation. Richard Gage has been interviewed by print and broadcast media around the world on this topic, including BBC, CBC, National Geographic, Fox TV, KBD1, PBS Colorado and others. And of course here, when he was in Sydney last November, he was on 107.5 FM, if I recall, and I hear that that got the greatest response from any story or interview made by that particular station. And congratulations to that station for having the courage to give Richard the opportunity to tell the people of Sydney a few facts about 9/11. Now, samples of these coverages can be found at the ae911truth.org website. We thank you for coming today, and by all means, in due course, you can ask your questions.
Okay, we'll just leave it at that point. The full video will actually be posted at 9/11 Oz and on the YouTube channel in due course. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Please stay tuned. We'll have another show for you in a couple of days. We've got a lot of things happening, and I'm trying to increase the number of shows we do so that we don't end up covering stale stories, you know, like a week after they've emerged. So please leave us your messages, follow our Twitter stream, and join us again soon. Look forward to your company. Over and out from Truth News Radio Australia.